from the East Coast, gateway to the fifth dimension. This is Interstellar Radio with Ivan Teller.
Well, greetings, everyone. Thank you for joining us. This is Interstellar Radio with Ivan Teller, as the intro said. All right, we have a guest on for tonight, Joyce Keller. She's a intuitive psychic. She's been in the business for, I think she said 40 years, a very long time. And so we're going to bring her on to have a conversation with her and to help others awaken to their spiritual path. So without further ado, actually, we're going to go right to her. One second. Okay, Joyce, you are on the air. Greetings.
Hey, Ivan. Thank you. And you know what? Yes. I feel really old. I didn't realize it was 40 years, but it could be because I
started this. I don't remember what you told me.
I don't even remember. I just know that I've been involved with this. It could be for my whole life because my mother was psychic, but she said, don't tell anybody, you know, just keep it quiet. You know, so I've been doing this really for my whole life. So you're right. It probably has been 40 or more.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that. We'll just leave it at that then. So yeah, you want to tell I was on your show a couple weeks ago on Wednesday, and that's what inspired this show, actually. So, yeah, thank you for that. And if you like to tell others about, you know, tell the audience.
Well, thank you. Yeah, Ivan, as soon as I heard your voice, I realized that you're going to be world famous. I mean, if you're not already, I know you're heading in that direction. You've only been involved with this for a very short time. So the progress you've made, Ivan, has really been phenomenal. And I don't know if your audience realizes that, but the kind of energy you're bringing in is above and beyond. And I don't think it's available anywhere else. So I wanted to just salute you and, you know, thank you for that, for starters.
Thank you.
And, you're welcome. And, my name is Joyce Keller. It's joycekeller.com is my website. So anything people want to know is in there. I don't have any secrets. The really amazing thing, Ivan, is that I don't think I've ever had a complaint, other than probably, you know, family members who say, what are you doing? You know? But it's really been a wonderful trip, and I'm very happy that you're bringing in this extraordinary energy from other planets and teachers that no one has ever heard of before. As I said, I've been involved with this work for my whole life, but I've had about 5 amazing experiences that were very personal and were really amazing, and I would really love to share those experiences with the audience, if that's okay. Can I do that, Ivan?
Yes, please do. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
sure.
Thank you. When I was about 8 years old, one beautiful day, my sister, who's a little bit older than I am, said, I'm going to teach you how to swim today, failing to mention that she did not know how to swim. So we were in a lake in Southampton, New York, and we stepped into a very deep, dark hole, and I went down. I really had a drowning experience. But at that point, as I was going down for the third time and really quite happy, because you realize at a certain point you just give it up and you say, I'm going with God. This is not so bad. You stop trying to breathe and you kind of relax into it and you just go with it. I had a visitation at that point, and an angel came to me and said, you know, I don't think you should really die now. This is not going to happen. We're not quite ready for you. You're only 8 years old, so I think you have to go back, and you're going to have a lot of work to do. And this didn't sound like a good idea at all. You have a long life and a lot of work to do. So I said, no, that's not good. Well, as I said that, my cousin George pulled me out by the hair and also saved my sister. He saved the two of us and threw us on the beach. But it was much more complicated than that. I mean, with these near-death experiences, you can write a whole book just about that alone. Excuse me. And then a few years ago, I had what I consider probably the most amazing experience of my life, where I was in a period of great depression, and I went to sleep one night. It was again on Long Island, New York, and I was sleeping next to my husband, and I was awakened, and it was much more complicated than the way I'm going to explain it, but I basically went through the window over my head and was taken to the plane of the Godhead, where I had an initiation of the soul. I had a crown chakra initiation, and it, you know, it almost brings me to tears as I talk about it. But that was very transformational. And then a few years later, I had an experience where a teacher I had never heard of before, whose name was Tuesday Lobsang Rampa. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, Lobsang Rampa.
No.
Took me to his monastery in Tibet. I went out of body to his monastery, and I had another initiation experience with him. And since then, he has been part of my band of teachers. But I learned that you can go very, very far in a heartbeat, and there's no such thing as time or travel once you're out of the body, and you know all that changes. So that was with Lobsang Rampa. I'm going to spell that to the audience because, again, I had never heard of it, and I tried to write it down. Eventually, I found him on the web. It turns out there are quite a few people who were following him. And in Tibet, when a child is born, the day that they're born on is the day that they use their first name. So his first name was Tuesday. And the second is Lobsang. It's L-O-B-S-A-N-G. And the second name is Rampa, R-I-M-P-A. So, and not at all related to Rampa, who's, you know, another whole story. And then just a few weeks ago, I had the experience of Lobsang Rampa coming to me again. This time he came with Saint Germain, with an offer. They're making a deal now. They're going to offer me something. And what are these? This was out of body. I was actually sleeping when Lobsang Rampa and Saint Germain came to me together. And they said, we'd like to ask you for a favor. We'd like you to basically have a walk-in experience. They were both walk-ins. Apparently, they both lived to hundreds and hundreds of years, and as their bodies wore out, they took new bodies. And they said, we'd like you to kind of come on board and, you know, kind of have this experience of being a walk-in. And I thought about my children. I thought about having to, God forbid, you know, bury my own children. And I said, you have to come back and ask me another time. I don't think I'm quite ready for this. And I told my daughter about it, my son, and they didn't know what to say at all. They said, And the interesting thing is that my children are on board 100%. They never think I'm strange. They never think I'm weird. And I can tell them anything. Yeah, so my children know me, you know, so that's it. And
that's
so I wanted to share that with you. And let's see what else I can tell you. Those are probably my four most impressive experiences that I've had that I can remember. You know, we all have these experiences, Ivan, that we don't remember. And, you know, it's very upsetting that we can't remember, you know. But so I want to thank you for letting me share those experiences with you and your audience. I appreciate that. And, you know, there have been others, but too boring to go into.
My mentor, his name is Jethro. He's an Indian, you know, he's like Native American. He's a professional psychic. And he drowned as a kid, and it opened him up. You know, he didn't die, but I guess he almost died, I guess. But he drowned, and it opened up his psychic senses. That's what happened.
Yes.
So that's, you mentioned that.
Drowning is great. Drowning is terrific.
Yeah, because... Because he talks to his guides like you talk to a person. I mean, they really come through for him. So I'm not sure if it's always accurate, but yeah, he said he watched his because I learned through him through the psychic circle about my own abilities. I just went through his teachings, and he said he lost his keys at the beach, and his guides said just wait on it, and you'll find him in the morning. And sure enough, he did. Like, that's really something.
Well, you know, my mother left me a very, 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 very valuable ring, which I lost in Florida. Oh, by the way, I'm living in Florida now. I'm on the other coast away from you. So I was living in New York at the time. I lost this very valuable ring on vacation in Florida. And my guides told me the same thing. They said, give it some time. We'll bring it back. Well, you know, 6 months passed, and I was really becoming upset because I didn't see the ring. And then one night I was sleeping, and they said, get up now. And I said, did you notice I'm sleeping? They said, no, get up now. We have a surprise for, we have a surprise for you. So they said, go to the bathroom and, you know, open the second cabinet, and you'll find the ring. And I said, no, I already looked in there. You know, I'm trying to continue sleeping. They said, no, get up. So I got up, went to the cabinet, and the ring was there. They had brought it back from Florida to New York for me. You know, so they can definitely... How does that work, yeah. Ivan? How do they do that? It's like,
that's, yeah, that's, I guess they're allowed to do that. I mean, obviously it can come into, I mean, our world is the imaginary world to them. Their world is the real one. You know, we're the Matrix world. So I don't see why they can't, I mean, yeah, they come, I mean, I've had guides touch me and my, you know, my legs or arms will move, you know, so. They can come into our reality. It's like turning on the lights for them. You know, it's just, we're ones living in the movies, so I don't see why not. They can't just come in and fine-tune it or take a ring and move it wherever they want it to go. So that makes sense.
You know, absolutely. And last night you said exactly that. You were channeling. You were bringing in a teacher. I forget who it was at this moment, where he said exactly that. I know who it was. It was the real president of the world.
Yeah.
They were one of the three.
Yeah.
And that was phenomenal. I mean, all of your messages are just extraordinary. I have to thank you so much. But he said exactly that. They have such control over us, and we have no idea of the kind of control that they have. He basically thinks we're kind of pathetic.
Yeah. You know? I mean, yeah. Well, yeah, they do. Unfortunately, yeah, they do. Well, well, those that are awakening to all this, I believe that's helping. You know, we're taking this more seriously, ourselves more seriously, instead of saying, "Oh, that's not real." You know, it's like, you know, connect to yourself. I know it's not advertised on television, of course, or CNN or any of those, so. I mean, that's the whole journey is becoming, you know, people wonder about what's the point. I guess you can say it's to find yourself, you can say, you know, whatever it might be.
Now, you've been talking a lot lately about disclosure or about what you feel might be coming in July. Now, today is currently July 7th, 2018, excuse me, because I know Blog Talk Radio is great. They play it over and over. You know, you can't get rid of it like a bad burrito. It just keeps coming back and coming back. So you have to give Blog Talk Radio credit for that. They will repeat the shows. So it's really important that you always give the date. So keeping that in mind, and because you are speaking a lot about disclosure, I'm wondering if you could give us an update on what you feel is going on.
Let's see here. Well, I received today, you know, I ask every day now because, you know, they got me into this. You might as well help me out here. I'm going to do a video also tonight on YouTube, kind of like rehash some of this. I might get some new information. But, yeah, let's see. I received that more people will, you know, it's like when you channel these beings or ask them to come into your energy, you know, if it's Alpha Centauri or Pleiadians or, you know, you can bring them into your, like, you can bring them closer to you with your intentions. Like, maybe they won't show up physically, but then again, you know, put the intentions that they will appear physically. I believe that's going to get stronger with us over time. So it's just, it's like, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you made a very good point last night in saying that they're going to do it in a way that's not terrifying to us.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting. I mean, how can they do it in a way that we don't wet our pants? I guess that's the question.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to do something. Maybe just an anomaly in the sky. And, you know, we'll just think of the satellite or whatever they call, you know, SpaceX again. You know, they keep blaming SpaceX for everything. You say you live on another coast. Where do you live on Florida?
I'm on the other coast. I'm in Boynton Beach. I just moved here. My husband died, and I hightailed it out of New York and New Jersey for a less expensive lifestyle. So I'm here, and I'm on a lake, and I'm looking at beautiful birds. Now I've never seen these birds before. But anyway, you said SpaceX. I'm sorry. What is that? I don't know what SpaceX is.
Oh, SpaceX. That's in Cape Canaveral. That's going to be, commercial. SpaceX is going into space with, a commercial airliner that goes into space. That's through Elon Musk. So that's at NASA right now, Cape Canaveral. So.
Oh, speaking of Elon Musk, I know he's trying to devise a plan to lift the kids who are
trapped.
Thailand. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that in the meantime, they're also working on drilling another whole passageway. And, of course, our prayers are with them. I'm just wondering if you have any feelings about Elon Musk and his plans. I know he's good and bad at the same time. He's mixing good and evil. But this gives him a great opportunity to do something really, really decent for humanity. And I just wanted to add one other thing about these kids who are kind of trapped at the moment. This is a beautiful thing because it's forcing us to look more into the earth and what's actually happening down there with Agartha and the Middle Earth and that whole scenario. And it's like stop just living on the surface of the earth. Let's go a little bit deeper. So they're going to discover a lot about what's really down there. And do you have any feelings about the discoveries of what's actually happening with the Middle Earth and Agartha? Do you address that at all?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, I get various connections, like even before the alien connections, we'll have more of an Agarthian connection. I had that in the past. You know, you'll feel more fairy beings. There have been sightings of them, but I'm not sure there's going to be a huge abundance of them. But, you know, it's hard to say where things are going. Now, with them, with those that are in Thailand right now, that's pretty... I don't know. What was the situation? How did they ever... You know the story on that? I haven't really kept up on it. Or how did they end up there to begin with?
Right. Okay. The only thing I think I know, which I'm not even sure about, is that the water was down when they went in there. And they went in there as explorers, I guess. And then the water came in and they were trapped. It's something like that. Do you have any intuitive feelings about it? I mean, I think it's really great for the research part of it and what it's going to tell us about Agartha and how we need to know more about the inner core of the earth. But as far as the kids themselves and these young boys, I think the latest plan was to create another tunnel, a parallel tunnel, where they could escape that way. And they're writing letters now, and they're asking for fried chicken and barbecued pork, and they're really getting hungry. So,
I don't blame them.
And they're just kids, and this is an extraordinary thing. And, Ivan, I love the fact that you are so honest, and everything is not airy-fairy with you. I mean, with so many channelers and people and all of us out there, everything is like, oh, so great and so good. And you actually have the courage to say, not everything on the earth is that great. We are honest in your presentation. I love that about you. So if you would like to share anything about the light and the dark on the earth, people say, no, everything is just great. Well, you know what? The symbol of infinity is light and dark and yin and yang, yin and yang. It's not just one. And that negativity has to be addressed. And I love the fact that you have the courage to address that. So, I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but I'm just wondering if you have any feelings about the negativity and the positivity that we all deal with.
There's different ways of looking at positivity. Some of it, positivity is great, definitely. because when you have too much negativity, you're just like, oh, I'm in the mud. Oh, this sucks. It's like, oh, it's this and that. And, you know, different ways of growing with negativity. But with positivity, some do get, not everybody, but some do get lazy. Some do get arrogant. And even with their positivity, oh, nothing will ever bad happen, or whatever it might be. And but then the negative ones are like, oh, really? You know, things are always going to be perfect. Yeah. So they bring a different point of view. And we weren't, and then like they come and they hit us or whatever it might be and cause us difficulties. But we weren't through that. It's like we weren't from there, you know, we weren't through their energies. And some do want to become, I would say, I mean, we're all teachers, but it's probably a better word, but they are like the ultimate teacher in some ways, maybe all the way. Maybe that's, you know, because they know they're going to get karma for all this, but they do it anyway because they feel like they're right or whatever it might be. Like, now what I've received recently is like when beings come to this world to be criminals and they get caught and put in jail, what I felt, I'm not 100%, but some, maybe I'm 100% on this, some just don't let go of their negativity. They don't know how. In other environments, they don't know how to let go of it. It's like we get away with so much, and these people just let us walk all over them or whatever it might be. But when they come to our world where, you know, we have the prison system the way it is, like, yeah, you can be as bad as you want, but eventually you're going to get caught, and they're going to beat the crap out of you. It's like, maybe I shouldn't be like this anymore. So like, then they find that real debilitation there. So, you know, getting caught sucks.
Yeah, I love the fact that you don't have a holier-than-thou attitude. You have a very honest, down-to-earth attitude, and like you really tell it very honestly. I appreciate that. Oh, speaking of that, I wanted to really thank you for, I don't want to say beating up Eric, but that's a really good thing, because he's presented as some kind of a great teacher. And
He probably is.
Okay. But then again,
I don't know.
Ivan said, when you're a suicide, I'm not going to even try to quote you, but could you possibly address that from what you said? I mean, he is a teacher in his own right, but go ahead. I appreciate it, Ivan. I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'll put you on the spot.
I know. No, it's okay. No, that's okay. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, because it's a touchy subject, because I know somebody, the relationship and her lover committed suicide. And it's like everyone, they're all seeing him as like this perfect guy. And when I connect to him, it's like, oh, gosh, this guy is not. Like,
oh, my goodness.
And so when I see Eric, and it's like double, like, what happens, like, I was okay with Eric. Even after that relationship, I knew, you know, I was okay with Eric. And then somebody asked a question during the webinar. I think it was about child sacrifice. And Eric said, oh, that never happens. At least that's what Eric said. But during the webinar, when I was channeling somebody, and he said, that's not correct. It's like, human trafficking is sacrifice. I mean,
It's huge. Mm-hmm.
I believe it is. Yeah, I mean, you won't see it.
Of course.
You don't see it for a reason. But it's not something I want to connect to, but it's rituals to the elites. It's there because they wouldn't be talking. It's just, I don't want to connect to it. But when I was channeling a being, they said that was not correct. I felt Eric showed up and he was not happy with that. And it's like I saw a whole other side to him that I was not expecting. So after that, it's like, you know what? And I got further into it. It's like, you know, this Eric thing is like, you know, he's like huge on YouTube. And that's good. I mean, he's helping people. Some people found me through Eric, and I thank him for that. But, you know, I think they're maybe giving him too much power, you know, from what it seems.
I understand.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But when you say suicide, is there a form of redemption that I'm not using the right word, but I have my own
damnation.
Views about? Yeah, I mean, do you think that it has to be repeated and people are given another chance? I don't believe they're plummeted into hell or anything like that. But what's your take on it, like a person like such as Eric?
Well, like Eric's, like some souls, it's on a like soul by soul basis. I don't think they go to hell, but some can go into when you. So it depends on the suicide, you can say. The energy is how much darkness the soul already has, goes into lower astral. Somebody like Eric can hijack other people's energies and, you know, oh, I'm positive, and it's actually a dark entity saying all that. And it might not even be Eric. It might be other beings that are claiming that they're Eric. And, of course, his mother checking into this, it's kind of hard to do that, too. When you deal with a suicide, it's a tricky business. Now, if not because he has a lot of attention. So anybody could come in and say they're Eric. They can put all this, you know, they could put on this facade. They can. I mean, it depends on the channeler. But it's weird. It's, you know, like I've connected to other suicides, and you can really feel the sorrow. And they need to be left, you know, sent love. But, you know, leave them be. You can say so. I mean, just let them heal. And now what they're saying, oh, here, Eric's healed and everything's fine. So why did a dark energy from him come to me if he's so wonderful? And so now I don't see Eric in a vessel of light after that.
That's very interesting. You know, you talk a lot about shadow government, which I know is new to a lot of people's awareness. I've known about it for quite a while. And is there an easy way for people to understand essentially what that means, the shadow government, so it's not at all what we're seeing? How would you best describe it so listeners can understand? I think it's something that's so prevalent now. We need to know your take on it.
It's like, you know, you can say like the interior of a white, like the White House, you know, where the president sits. What I see, now, of course, there's like another version of it. We said, for example, the United States. There's another version of it. When I gather, like in the like Nevada, for example, because the government does own a lot of that land. And of course, it's underground. How can you prove anything? But it's like it's probably a lot more advanced, probably larger. Who knows what? It feels like there's a lot of government. Yeah, underground base. People have had dreams of this, of human trafficking, but fuel the underground bases here, with human traffics, where that's going. But there's basically a whole nother like society. I know underground, but there could be a whole nother society within our society. You have no idea. I mean, do you like talk to everybody you walk by? You don't know.
No.
They live among us, and that doesn't mean that they live within our rules. Or they might have like a clearance, like if they get pulled over by the cops and say, oh, I just work for the government. No worries. You know, whatever it might be, you know. So it's like almost like a diplomatic thing that they have here. And it's a whole, like another president and like the United Nations, they go through, there's this very, very quiet. I mean, how hard is it? I mean, it's not easy for us to find it, but for a good reason.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, all the rules are made there. All, like, the networks, like Fox and CNN, I believe the manipulations come from there to the propaganda machines and BBC, et cetera. You know, it's filtered in somehow through psychic energies, through, you know. When people don't connect to energies, they don't believe in any of this stuff, it's easy to puppet, you know, control people. You know, 'cause they don't
so
believe
that's
in
really just repeat that again, because people really need to hear that. That is probably one of the most profound things that we all need to hear again, because it's so important.
Yeah.
You're saying that when you have blinders on, you're really vulnerable. But I want to hear it the way you just said it again, because it was so brilliant.
Oh yeah, if you're not, people aren't aware of their own psychic abilities, their own intuition ability. I mean, they're aware of their intuition, but they're not aware of their guides. Angels and so the elite believe in all that metaphysics, and they use that against us. This is how they program us, put thoughts into our minds, and this is how they program us, and we're not aware of it. You know, you think it's all your thoughts, and not always. So
let me ask you something that is very, very common in our society, that is something, it's called obesity. And people holding on to weight, being very, very overweight. And I'm just wondering if you feel, Ivan, that this is a form of protection because they don't understand or because there is a vulnerability and packing on pounds is a form of insulation.
Yeah,
you
can
ever
say,
address that?
Yeah, I don't. Some people have just starved in the past, and so of course they're just packing on the pounds for that. I've also received like some souls are just energy beings. They never experienced a human body before. So when they incarnate here, it's like I'm gonna be as big as I can. Of course, not everybody's like that. I know it sounds funny,
true. Because when I do readings, I have the same impression about people. They ask how they can lose weight, and it's different in every case. But a lot of it is related to starvation in prior lifetimes, and they're using it as a support. Also, it's sexual protection as well. If a person is overweight, they're using it to keep people away from them. Maybe they don't want that sexual interaction. Speaking of that, I'm just wondering, do you ever, in all the times I've listened and watched you on the web, I don't know if you've said anything about crop circles, which I find fascinating. I mean, I love people who say, oh, no. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What have you said about crop circles?
Not
do you remember?
I do talk to them. Not very often. I don't go into it that much. It's not brought up that much. You can't dispute crop circles. I mean, I guess you can. There are fake ones, but most of them are real. And, yeah, that's basically a message. Different types of messages when I get. A lot of it's from, the Arcturians, and it's a collective usually. They have basically a message for humanity in a positive sense. You can basically connect to its energy and read what energy you're receiving from it. Of course, they create themselves. Well, of course, you don't see the ship that's doing it. Basically, they're letting us know that they're here. That's another part of it, which most humanity looks the other direction. And also, I believe some of the crop circles are not always the friendliest. From what I felt, some of them are like, humans, you deserve this, or, we own you, is what I receive sometimes from crop circles. It's like,
you have a great sense of humor.
Well, yeah, it's like some beings are like, try to get this world. Good luck on that. something like that.
You just mentioned I'm sorry, go ahead. That's fascinating.
Oh, no, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to tell you that I told you I had recently moved from New York and New Jersey. I lived on the border of New York and New Jersey. I moved to Florida. But one of the last nights I was staying at my apartment in Weehawken, New Jersey, which was right on the Hudson River, by the way, right where the pilot brought down his plane. That's exactly where we lived, with the skyline behind. So anyway, I want you to picture the setting in your mind. So we have a little balcony, which is directly over the river. And I don't know if this was a factor or not, but the balcony is about eight feet long, wide. And one of the last nights I was there, I was sleeping with my daughter. And around 3 o'clock in the morning, I was told to get up and to get her with me and to go out on the deck. Again, I'm sleeping, minding my own business. And
it was in the middle of the night.
This was 3 o'clock in the morning. So this was very much of an astral experience. I can't really tell you. Don't ask me any hard questions because I won't be able to answer. But I'm just going to tell you what I remember. But so I went out onto the deck, and I saw a small light up in the sky. And it just grew brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And it was in a triangular shape. And then eventually, I have such chills just telling you about this, Ivan, telling your audience. Eventually, the light was as bright as exactly as the size of my deck, about 8 feet. It was like a triangular light. And they brought the spaceship down. I did not really see it. I only saw the light, which was very, very bright. And they said, "We're the Arcturians. And we want to speak to Elaine, who's my daughter." They said, "Let her stand in front of you." So I figured they're probably going to take her. I think that's such a great idea. So I got her to get up with me, and I held on to her shirt. She was wearing a long shirt. And we stood there, and they spoke with her for a long time. They didn't. They said, "We're not interested in speaking with you right now. We want to speak with Elaine." So she stood in front of me, and they communicated with her for like about 20 minutes. Of course, she has no memory of this at all, consciously, which didn't help at all. But I remember very, very clearly. And in the morning, you know, then the light diminished, and they left. That was it. So I don't know anything more than that consciously. But in the morning, I asked Elaine if she remembered. She said, "I have no idea what you're referring to," which did not help at all. But that was a long communication, and they said that that was essentially where she was from. She was Aksharian. So I wanted to share that with you, and I would, you know, I wish I had more to tell you, but I don't. I wanted to ask you. I believe you've mentioned that Aksharian energy is usually positive, and it's kind of an umbrella energy. Is that correct?
Yeah, it watches over us, yes. Goes through our mind, and yes, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something like that. Well, the
kind of like
the
guardian
primary,
angels.
They're like God. That's what I thought also. You know, I had that kind of energy, yeah, feeling from them. Then... would you say then they are they the primary energy in our universe? Is it Aksharian, or is there something over them as well? Is there a higher energy?
In our we could say our galaxy, I believe they're one of the higher energies. Yes, I believe there's others, but especially around our world, they're keeping our world together. Because they can't be defeated, far as I can tell. With their energies, they don't pick fights either. Of course, there's the archons, but there's positive archons also. But I believe the Arcturians is usually kind of like our, in some ways, you can look at them as our parents, the Arcturians. In some ways,
that
basically
impression.
They're just watching out for us. Yeah,
that feels very, very accurate, and I really feel that's correct. I wish I had something smart to say, you know, beyond that, but I really don't about the. You know, other than, I mean, why is so much buried in our subconscious that the conscious mind is so stupid, and you know we can't remember
the
things really.
That's the journey here, is not to remember anything. You know, to find the memories. Well, you know, with that experience, that Arcturian experience, I did feel the Yael. I'm not sure if you're too familiar with them. I feel you're very connected.
I want to know more about that. I think you've mentioned that, and I don't know enough about it. So please refresh us.
The Yael, they have our DNA. They have grown from us, you can say. They're like, we are their grandparents, something around those lines. They're very similar. A lot of them, some of them incarnated as humans, and they're in our banking system, and maybe not exactly making the best decisions, but... they're, along with others, are involved with our, a lot of actors are Yael. Some of them don't have much of a chin, but they're helping us along with all the other species. They are, they're similar to us in a lot of ways. Let's put it that way.
There's a lot of talk about the law of attraction and the law of abundance, and that there's no victimization, blah, 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 and you can have whatever you want. And a lot of people try this. Some succeed and some don't. And the idea of you can have anything you want, and that our guides and teachers are just waiting to hear what we want. All we have to do is ask for it. And they can manipulate the energy around us to manifest what we want, and that we can create our own reality. I'm just wondering, is this above and beyond the laws of karma? Does karma still interact with this? Do you believe in the law of attraction, or is it just BS?
I think it does. It depends. It's like, are you allowed to do it in your contract? It's like... You can attract all the Corvettes and mansions you want. It's like, if it's meant for you, yeah, if it's in your contract, but it doesn't mean not to connect to, you know, in your means, you can say. That doesn't mean to not think big. But imagine a lot of people are thinking big and nothing's happening. It can be long-term also. If you have a goal, like to be a writer or famous, sometimes it takes 20, 30, 40 years. So it's different for everybody. So yeah, I think it does exist. It's just patience. It's what I was told before I did this. It's like, hey, I'm ready to go and I'm going to go be a writer or something like that. And they said, the universe isn't ready yet. And now here I'm doing channeling work and it's a little bit different. I wasn't expecting any of this. So,
you know what, Ivan, there are a lot of messages coming through from many other sources that say that the soul contract can be canceled and the karmic restrictions that a lot of people are experiencing can be canceled. You can rise above it. The soul contract, I believe, is reflected in the astrological chart that, you know, we're born with the moment
yeah.
you take that first breath. All of that determines, you know, just really what your soul contract is. Do you feel that it can be altered, changed, canceled, or that we're stuck with it?
I don't know. It's individually. Some can, some can't. It feels. It all depends on what you're here for. I believe it can be, but I'm not sure for everyone, though. It's hard to say. They don't, you know, it's. Some have certain rules where they told their guides, don't let me change anything. So, or they can alter it, but, you know, it's. Yeah, it's like a case by case. So
when you say alter it, like if you find that you're in a situation that is really unacceptable and you're just
yeah.
incredibly unhappy and you want to change the soul contract, do you feel for most people that goes under the category of free will? And my feeling is that we have about, the average person has about 20% free will. That's very variable. I think master teachers have less. But do you feel, this is a complicated question, I'm so sorry about this, but this is something that really troubles everyone, and I think you're the best source of this information. If you find the soul contract is just really overwhelming and you're so gosh darn tired of it, you say, this is ridiculous, I'm tired of this poverty or the blindness or whatever you're stuck with, and what to what extent do you think we have free will and that can be changed? I know it's very individual, as you just said, but
yeah.
generally speaking, is there some variation
yeah.
of?
I think a lot of it's patience. I think so. It just takes time, depending on the situation. I believe there's some situations you just have to wait, and it might take years for it to shift out. So. It really is on a case by case. I believe so, yes, depending on how much passion you want and is actually on your side too. It's on a case by case because it's depends on the situation.
So when you say passion, is that like prayer?
Passion is like if you truly want it. Like I'm passionate. I really want to accomplish this. I want to be that's the thing. I mean, how many people are in Hollywood that want to be actors and are now living on the street? So I imagine a lot of them are passionate about being an actor and they kind of give up on it. So, you know, of course, there's another soul journey there. So, you know, and some do enjoy living on the street too. It has its ups and downs, of course.
Do you think that there's such a thing as curses and blocks that are hurled our way that can be overcome?
Yes.
And is yes. What do people do
yes.
if they feel they're jinxed?
Yeah, it's jinxed. It's usually like called a psychic attack. Reiki is probably good for that, for healing. It depends on the curse. Yeah, it's all different. How long a curse can go, but I believe just some sort of healing can probably, and a lot of it can go into the mind, like you curse yourself too. It's like, oh, I'm cursed. So a lot of it's operating in the mind, but it's all soul lessons there too. So I believe you can break it, like, you know, if you're in a relationship and that partner wants to kick your, you know, knock you, you know, come after you, they can, like, send a mental curse to you, you know, because they're so outraged. So, you know, but that doesn't mean it's going to last forever. Yes, I've seen spellcasters, but I don't think some of the curses don't last very long, too. I guess it depends on the spellcast. You can put a positive spell or a negative spell on somebody, but I'm not sure how long that lasts. I don't think they last that long.
But Ivan, what about generational curses? Like, if, it goes back a number of generations, like in the Bible it says, it goes to the fourth generation, or, you know, something along those lines. I'm just wondering if there can be generational curses that go down through generations.
Yeah, there's probably some of that. And it has to do with the people, like, changed, or maybe the house can be cursed, too, by lower energy. It all comes down to energy. So it's who's, clear the energy, you'll clear your curse. Let's look at it that way. So if you feel like your house is cursed, get somebody to clear it and have somebody clear you too.
My children, we bought a house on Long Island that had two suicides there. And my guides told me that we had to have that house because they showed it to me in a dream. And they gave me the address and the location, the whole thing. They said, no, you have to go there and you have to live there for 10 years. This doesn't sound like a good job or something I want to do, but what the heck? You know, it's very affordable. My husband said, great house. You know, it's a trip. Everyone was on board, and I said, I don't know about this. So,
yeah, really.
We moved in for 10 years. It was very, very, very difficult, but we cleared it. And they said, okay, now you can move. So it was difficult. But you can do the job, but sometimes it's overwhelming. And we had my husband was unemployed there for 3 years. We had very, very hard times, and it was just a battle from start to finish. But we also had good times, and those were really important. We had good parties and good get-togethers, and that raised the energy a lot, along with a lot of clearing work that I did. I brought in the most powerful shamans and people I could find, and we constantly burned sage. We did everything. It was like living in some kind of holy land, and eventually the job was done. And the question is, there were also underground magnetic streams, which I intuitively perceived, and I'm wondering if, and also it had been cursed Indian land. And I'm wondering, in a case like that, you know, that makes it extra hard, Ivan, right? It's like, oh my goodness, I'm getting big psychic muscles from this. But it's very tiring, you know, and it kind of wears you out. But you learn from it, and then you move on. And, you know, so it's – and my kids had great visions. My son, who is a chiropractor, Dr. Keller, he had many, many visions of Indians building boats – you know, canoes from the trees across the street and peeling off bark. And, you know, he had so many visions because he is very intuitive. So we had, you know, you can have good mixed in with bad. That's like, oh my goodness, we survived. I wanted to ask you a question about the Pope. Okay. What kind of energy is that? I mean, when you talk about the Vatican, I love the fact you're so honest and you don't mind beating up sacred cows. I love that so much about you. And I'm a little more cautious than you are, but I'm still almost as iconoclastic as you are. The Vatican has huge storehouses of gold and so much money locked within. And yet they're always crying poor. You know, they're asking, you know, put some money in the poor box and all that. It's such hypocrisy and it's such a dichotomy and a departure from the truth. And I'm wondering if you'd be kind enough to shed a little light on what's actually going on from what you can tell.
Yeah, well, I believe this Pope is probably one of the most positive ones. Of course, he's under control.
Good.
He can't go into what he'd like to. So I believe they try to quiet him down. At times, so he wants to go. I believe he asked before he can make certain decisions, from what I can feel at least. You know, he makes a major change, but I don't believe he agrees with what's going on there. But he knows he's doing good, so he knows. I believe he knows of the conspiracy, the Black Pope, and all that. But yeah, the Vatican's elite, the Illuminati, the dark, is there putting this facade of positive reptilians. There's a lot of underground, you could say, sacrifices that happen there. What a perfect place. People give their energy, to God, the Pope. And so they take that energy and then they control it. You can say there's sacrifice.
Why would people give away their power to someone who... this is a mystery to me. I find this very hard to understand it.
Yeah.
Because why?
Well, it's a different... it goes through generations. You believe in spirituality through religion, so you don't go to hell. I think that's a big part of it. Of course, those that are questioning religion and become atheists, of course, atheism is another form of religion. It's like atheist religion, you can say, at least what I'm picking up on. They just feel, not everyone is, but some just, they don't feel like they're worthy of God. They feel like they don't mean anything. So with that, they can easily get pulled into something along those lines. It's easy.
Right.
I just go to church. They go to church and then they go be bad all week long. Not always, but I'm gonna go be a sinner, whatever that is. And then they go to church to clear their sins.
You're very hands-on. I mean, I really like that about you. I wrote to you, and I recently requested that you tune into George Carlin because I wanted to know more about what happens to avowed atheists when they cross over. And your message was phenomenal from George. So I wonder if you could possibly – do you remember what the message was?
I don't remember. Well, some atheists do get, they question God. So some do get stuck here. They do see they get trapped here. They can, in other dimensions when they die, they don't want to go anywhere. So they become a ghost. I don't think he did. I think he had some side of him that knew something was there. He just didn't know what it was. But other atheists, it's not that easy. So.
Do you listen to your messages such as that? You don't usually pay any attention.
I just channel it. I try to remember.
You channel it.
Some of it I retain, not much.
So you don't retain much. So you're delivering these phenomenal messages and not retaining much, but the message you just gave me from George Carlin was correct, and it was in a nutshell the basis of what you channeled from him, that he's doing okay. And I guess my question is, the old expression, there are no atheists in foxholes. At what point do they grow in the light, or if at all, or do they, as you just said, some of them become ghosts, or they become very rooted in physicality? But even with ghosts, don't you think, Ivan, at a certain point, God says, okay, no, that's enough? Come with me into the light?
I think so. Yeah, it's a whole other experience. It's a whole other world, I mean, a lot of atheists become ghosts. So, not all, but some do.
But that's not forever. I mean, it's only like for a short period of time. And also, if people think that when they die and they're plummeted into hell because they've lived such a wretched life, I mean, even that, they would probably have the hell experience for, as long as their soul needs it. But then at a certain point, they would be taken. I think they would be taken out of that also. I mean,
it depends. Yeah. To go back to the atheists, though, real quick, I believe some of them can go, like, you probably heard of those that after they die, they reincarnate again.
Yes.
And atheists they're like the top of the list on that. Because they don't think there's another afterlife. They think this is it. So who's easy to go into that? For those that feel... once again, it's case by case. Those that feel like they're going to go to hell, they might not. They might... Just that fear might bring them closer to spirit, because they don't want to go there. But some feel like, hey, hell, I can't wait to go there. So they get pulled into lore. I don't even know how... If they go into lower astral and they, part of it at least, so who knows.
but But that was very interesting. It was a very interesting answer. So for the most part, mm-hmm. it's very individual. And if people,
yeah.
when people cross over and they go into other dimensions, they may incarnate. But is it true from your viewpoint that they usually don't incarnate while their loved ones are still on the earth? Or can they come back pretty quickly?
Well, I think some of them... Well, we're energy, so we can be in spirit and here. So I believe we can re part of, you know, just like the fractal of you can reincarnate. So yeah, I think you can reincarnate. It all depends on what you want to do. So, or it doesn't mean this world might be another world.
Oh, they could go to another
yeah.
world, right? I agree with that.
Yeah,
you know what?
I think a lot of them.
I know. Okay, I know somebody who was born with a bleeding head, a big wound in their head.
Ouch.
In that case, they were born with blood on their head, with a gaping wound. And my feeling is that they incarnated very quickly. You know, they came back very
yeah.
quickly. Isn't that unusual, though, to come back
yeah,
with a gaping wound?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's how old was this person?
Well, actually, it was my mother who was born with a gaping wound in her head.
Wow,
and she showed me. She had... She lived a long life.
I don't know if that means she incarnated quickly. She just wanted to, obviously, she wanted to experience for some reason. Sometimes, but not always, though. Sometimes our souls, when they come in, they don't always know what's going to happen to us. Because, you know, they're not, like, when somebody comes in, they have, like, massive schizophrenia. It's like, that wasn't on their chart, but they're experiencing it. You know, so, like, with your mother having that. I'm not sure if she was really meant to go through that. It's just kind of, you know, a defect of some kind. It does happen. You know, it's not always. This is why the Wild West. You don't know what's going to happen when you incarnate. It might be fine. It might be crazy. So, yeah.
You know, I think we write about things we really, really want to know. I wrote a book called Why Am I Here? Which everyone wanders around saying, why am I here? Why am I here? Yeah, the Edgar Cayce ARE Press was good enough to publish it. It was my last book, Why Am I Here? And it was pretty interesting the way my guides gave it to me. They gave it to me with, you could actually look up your birth date and you would get a lot of information about that. You know, just it gives you great insight into who and what you are and why you're here. Of course, you know, there are other mysteries that are yet to be revealed. But, I mean, that's a step in the right direction because the birth chart, I believe, the North Node tells you why you're here, the North Node part of your astrological chart, and the South Node tells you where you came from, like the lessons that the nodes reveal. The nodes are very, very important, and it tells you a lot about who and what you are and your soulmates and the Mars and Venus aspects of your chart tells you, you know, who your soulmates really are. I think astrologically, there's so much information there, and people are so quick to poo-poo it. I've been on dating sites now for a while. I know you're almost out of time, but I've been on dating sites for a while, and occasionally, if I'm interested in someone, I will ask them what their birth date is. And, you know, men are so resistant. I have to tell you, most men refuse to give their birth date. So they say, you believe in that BS? In that case, of course, I have nothing to do with them thereafter. Needless to say, Ivan, I have very few or no dates. Because I'm, you know, I want to know who they really are before I meet with them. So.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Well, there will come into a time where you should know about this stuff because this is how we get more control over our world. The more I think, oh, that's stupid and all that, but, you know, where are we going by ignoring it? We're not really going anywhere, really. I mean, we're kind of doing the same. We're repeating Groundhog Day. You know, the world in a cycle. It's like, good work, same old, same old. And
Go ahead. I mean, you talk about a lot of moving from the third into the fourth and into the fifth dimension. You can do a whole show on that. I mean, that's fabulous. It's so important.
Yeah.
People really have to understand that right now. Don't get stuck in the third dimension. Stop being caught up in the mundane aspects of your life. Please, people, open your eyes and understand what we're actually experiencing on the planet and move forward. Get out of your mire, you know, of illusion, you know, let a little light come into your lives, please. I mean, if I had one request, that would be it at this point. So thank you, Ivan, for having me on, for letting me express that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being on. Yeah, it's yeah. If you wanted to say your website again, if you want.
Oh, it's just my name. It's Joyce Keller. It's almost like Ivan Tell, except it's joycekeller.com. And everything is in there, my email address, contact me. You know, I'm here to help. I'm one of the helpers on the planet, and I appreciate that opportunity. It's a great growth experience because we're here for service, truth, and love, and you know, to share light and to help others.
And you had a radio show on Blog Talk. Where can they find that?
It's on Blog Talk Radio. It's on Joyce Keller. I'm laughing because I had, for 20 years, I was with a legitimate New York radio station until they were sold out to the Chinese radio network, and they told me not to come back. So then I went to Blog Talk Radio 5 years ago. So I've been there since then, and I've been very privileged to have you on, Ivan. And I tried to get you on this last week, but it didn't work. So very soon.
Yeah, definitely. I'll try to get on the end of this month, hopefully, because of work and everything. It should be okay. So I'll try to make it happen. So, all right. Thank you for being on the show.
And, hey, Ivan, you're the best. Thank you.
Yeah, you are too. Yeah, thank you for being on. Thank you for sharing. All right. Much love. Okay. All right. Okay, everyone. We're going to – well, we have a caller here. Been on for an hour. So, caller, you are now live. Thank you for holding.
I came across your show, and very interesting. I've had quite a bizarre life. I don't know if you do readings or whatever, but I've had UFO paranormal and near-death experiences with very powerful synchronicities. I even share a common background with President Trump, but I'm not into the ego like he is.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. That's on your... Are you like a?
I wanted to see. Do you can you pick up on energy just from my talking or?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. I'll see what I can get.
And if I can share my name, it might be interesting too for the woman who was on, because I'm from the New York area originally, and I'm actually working on bringing forth new paradigms that will empower women and indigenous people globally and root out corruption. That's the biggest problem mankind has had since the beginning, and that will transform economics, education, politics, religion, and more based on spirituality and unconditional agape love.
Cool. And you said you had a UFO experience, or...
Yes, I actually was working at the world headquarters for Union Carbide, and I was there when the gas leak in Bhopal, India happened, too. I was a contract security officer, and I had one of these big triangular ships at Hudson Valley sightings come right over the top of me when I was coming into work one night.
Wow. Nice. So you want me to... connect to it, or what is it that you're...
whatever you can pick up and be curious, because I have had a lot of people pick up on my energies, and it's always very interesting for me to see where I'm at and what how I'm doing as far as the big mission and vision that I have to help others and bring in more peace and love for humanity.
Well, let's see. I see a lot of, if you're familiar, is Arcturian energies. And once again, I do feel some Yael, if you're familiar with the Yael alien beings. I believe they were there for guidance. They were there to protect your energy, protect that area, but also those that were working in that area. They're keeping an eye on it, obviously. Of course, they visit all types of places, but for you to catch that, they just want to know, let you know you're not alone. That was part of it. they're not giving me a whole lot of detail, really. at this time. There are reptilians in that area, that's for sure. But they don't... They try not to make themselves... Because there's reptilians everywhere, I guess. So... They're not really going to their agenda at this time. For good reason. Yeah, go ahead. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, if I could share a big website, I think it would be interesting to confirm some of what you said and to give
sure.
you... if you Google my last name only, it's Traulson. It's spelled T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy, then put the word and, A-N-B, and then Trump, T-R-U-M-P. It will bring you to a page on a big website, rootingoutcorruption.weebly.com.
Uh-huh.
And you
Good.
Can look over that whole website. There's a lot of archive radio programs and a lot of documents. And I was raised Catholic. I'm not a practicing Catholic, but I do have a deep faith in Jesus Christ. That's where I resonate and look mm-hmm. to show people mm-hmm. two basic things that he gave on how people should live their life, which they don't seem to pay attention to because they're too focused on the material world. But he said, always put God first, and secondly, love your neighbors yourself. So I'm looking to tamp down the chaos and have people take more personal responsibility and understand that we all came from spirit and we'll be going back into spirit. And I believe we're fully accountable for everything we do here, and that we really incarnate here to learn the lesson of unconditional love. As we learn it, we're supposed to
yeah.
be a blessing to others, especially those who can't help themselves.
Yes. Yes. Yep, that's true. All right, yeah, thank you for sharing. Definitely, I'll check that website out and post it. So thank you for
thank
that.
You so much, and God bless you
right.
for the work
yep.
you're doing. Yep. It really is about caring and sharing with one another.
Yes, it is. Yep. All right.
Thank you again.
Thank you for calling. All right, much love. Take care. All right, thank you. Okay, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is Interstellar Radio, Ivantar. This is you can go to ivantar.com. Find out about our future shows. I'm working on getting that figured out. You could basically to know the future schedule, just to go to Blog Talk. You can find ivantar.com/radio. It's at the top of the menu to find times. Of course, I think I had a day Friday that was available, and I didn't have a show Friday. So for this upcoming schedule this week, of course, it's going to go up and down. I'm going to try for tomorrow night. As for the time, I was probably going to do 8 o'clock, but I might do 7. Probably going to do 8 o'clock. It'll be a call-in show and at 8 o'clock Eastern. And then Tuesday night, probably 8 o'clock again. Wednesday, we'll see how it goes. And then possibly Friday and Saturday. So, yeah, this is a lot of anomalies going on. We're going into a new shift of awareness. I'm going to start titling these shows UFO Disclosure in the Fifth Dimension. So, all right, we're actually closing out. So, thank you for calling. And for any callers that are calling in, please call in tomorrow. So, 8 o'clock Eastern, I'll post it on Blog Talk, and this will be on YouTube. Also, Ivan Teller, just go to Ivan Teller. You find, find the radio, Interstellar Radio archives there also. So, all right, much love, everyone, and have a great night. Blessings, everyone.